This summer, don't just watch soccer. Play in the DraftKings Real Shot Challenge presented by Jägermeister. The rules of the game are simple. Just pick winners. At the end of the tournament, the five top point getters in each nation's leaderboard walk home with a national team jersey and a Jägermeister jacket. All entries are automatically entered into an overall leaderboard where the prizes are even more lucrative, like the ultimate fan experience, an all-expenses-paid trip to the winning team's country to celebrate sweet, sweet victory like a local. Enjoy a VIP soccer experience, including game tickets, transportation, and swag, plus extra cash so you can roll like a Meister. You don't need cash to enter. It's free. So what are you waiting for? Head to DraftKings.com/RealShot to adopt your team, get in the game, and win exclusive prizes. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/RealShot for details. Hi, I'm Grant Wall, and welcome to the Planet Football Podcast World Cup Daily. Day 4 of World Cup 2018 is done, headlined by Mexico's history-making 1-0 victory over World Cup champion Germany on a goal from Irving Chucky Lozano. Brian Strauss and I will be talking about that and other topics today as part of our podcast coming to you daily from Russia through July 16th. Just a small request, it would be a huge help if you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. It helps people find us. In this episode, I'm also joined by Bora Milutinovic, who coached the United States at World Cup 1994 and also managed four other teams at the World Cup: Mexico, Costa Rica, Nigeria, and China. Onward! Grant Wall and Brian Strauss welcoming you here once again to the World Cup Daily Podcast of the Planet Football Podcast. Once again, we're outdoors here tonight, Brian.
On the cobblestones.
Right next to the Kremlin.
Next to the barbed wire fences and the shipping containers.
This is happening, we'll explain again, because
there's like a little mini city. This is like a little mini city that we're in.
It is.
Yeah. All the TV studios.
Of all the rights holders. Just wanted to get a good view of St. Basil's Cathedral.
And their trucks. So when people are watching at home on TV, they can see the cathedral and all that in the background, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the reason we're doing this is because, once again, I'm going to be a full panelist on the World Cup Tonight Show on Fox, which has been a lot of fun. Usually we're on at 10 or 11 p.m. on FS1 and then at midnight Eastern on Fox. But check that out if you can. But check out our podcast, too, which I guess you're doing if you're listening to this. Brian, you were at Mexico-Germany today. Mexico won, Germany nothing. For me, the greatest modern era World Cup results forever for Mexico, right?
I think you could delete modern era from that. I guess they did. I think they beat Bulgaria in 1986.
They got to the quarterfinals in 70 and 86.
To get to the quarterfinals when they hosted the 70 format. I don't know. It may have been a different sort of deal. But this is, so you can make a case for both, obviously, getting deeper into a tournament, all that kind of stuff. But Mexico has never beaten a full-strength world power at a World Cup. Their one win over what, you know, anyone would agree is a top-tier nation was over France in 2010. And that France was like an imploding circus shit show, right? I mean,
yep.
that wasn't, you know, France at their best. And they've beaten a lot of second-tier countries that are sort of along with them. You go back through their history, Croatia, Belgium, you know, nothing to sneeze at. You know, those are countries we can't beat. But they've yet to take that next step. And today they did. Today they beat a world champion, a world power, one of the elite countries. And now El Quinto Partido, they can beat the teams that you need to get to that game. They've proven it today. This is a talented team. They were so well drilled. They obviously have faith in what Osorio is asking them to do. They went out and executed it. It was really, really, really impressive. And for anyone who watched it, I mean, it could have been 4-0 at half just as easily if they were a bit more clinical in the penalty area. Sometimes I think they had so much time and space they didn't know how to handle it. But it was just a wonderful performance, and they held on at the end and deserved the win.
Yeah, they totally deserved the win, I think, is the thing. It wasn't just some fluky you know, bad bounce of the ball or referees call. Mexico deserved to win this game, and they executed Osorio's game plan perfectly. It seemed like they went down the left side a lot on the counter. Chucky Lozano obviously on the left side. Usually Kimmich gets farther forward than the other fullback. And by the way, Mexico fans are taking over Red Square tonight, as you can tell.
They can't even see us through the banner.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
But Lozano, from the first minute of the game, he had a chance down the left in the box.
Germany's two fullbacks were playing essentially like at Mexico's 18, you know? And when Germany pulled one of their outside backs back in the second half, they had a bit more balance and were able to swing the ball side to side a bit, and they created chances. And Mexico, the guys after the game, they knew that was coming. You know, but Ochoa had a really nice game. You know,
and they make a bunch of mistakes.
Timo Werner missed the best chance of the second half, put a shot over the bar at the left post. But Germany just didn't make the plays. That's part of deserving to win, is making the plays you need to make to win, and they didn't do it.
And I look at this Mexico defense, and last year in that 4-1 loss to Germany in Confederations Cup.
Is that Mikhail Silvestre?
It is.
Cool.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's done some work for Fox.
Awesome.
How are you doing, Mikhail? Good to see you. You want to join our podcast?
Hey, I'm Brian. Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you. You okay?
Yeah.
Cool. Enjoy.
All right, you too. Maybe my favorite part of this location where we're doing this is saying hello to folks. That was Mikhail Silvestre. The interview with Bora Milutinovic that comes later in this podcast, we have a cameo from Jovan Kurovsky coming in. So this seems to now be a pattern. In terms of... What was I talking about? I was talking about the Mexican defense. So in that loss 4-1 to Germany last year at Confederations Cup, first 10 minutes, two horrible mistakes in the back. Germany pounces on them. Game over.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mentioned this in my story. Go look at the stats from that game. Possession, shots, corners, chances. Mexico dominant. Mexico controlled the ball and lost the game. Today, they ceded the ball. They instead worried about controlling flow and dynamic and balance and space. Those are the things they dominated today. And like we said, a deserved win. So credit to Osorio, credit to Mexico. The other thing I just want to mention about Luzhniki today was, you know, and I've brought up this comment before of Chicharito Hernandez saying that there are Mexicans on Mars. Holy crap, man. Like, that was Azteca.
It looked like it.
That sound that you hear, that whoosh, you know, of course, the anthem, of course, you know, the singing and the beer flying and all of that stuff. You know, that place was, I mean, there were, I think, close to 80,000 people there. At least half of them were cheering for Mexico, if not more. I mean, it was just a really, really impressive showing. And you could tell it moved the players. And you know, Osorio paid tribute to them after the game. They had home field advantage against the world champions in Europe. I mean, it's just absolutely remarkable. And you have to think it helped. So just a wonderful day for Mexican football. I spoke to Guillermo Cantu after the game, the CEO or secretary general. I think he's officially the secretary general, but I have no idea what that title means. I just don't know where those words...
I would say general secretary, not secretary general.
Maybe it is. See, I don't know. I don't even know what any of that... I know what those words individually, like how they're defined in a dictionary, but I don't know what they mean together. So I just kind of think of them as
If you have multiple secretary generals,
this is the rabbit hole you go down when you start thinking about this shit. You know, and of course, and so he was really, really super helpful when we did the magazine piece last month. And so it was nice to chat with him today. And of course, you know, he said, look, you know, South Korea and Sweden are no pushovers. We've got a really, really tough group. And you know, he said we didn't want to draw Germany. Like this was our worst case scenario. And we drew, I guess, what you and I probably think is the second most balanced group maybe of the tournament. And maybe it sort of steeled them. Maybe it just really sort of got them to buckle down and realize how much work was ahead. Because they, you know, Osorio said today this was a 6-month, you know, process to plan for this game, and everything they've been doing has been building toward this, and they really sort of, you know, committed to getting this right and getting the team right. And so, you know, obviously it doesn't matter if they blow the next two games, and beating Germany doesn't matter, but now they can go into the next two games, perhaps go into the round of 16, knowing they can beat this kind of opponent. And that's not something they've ever been able to say before. They hadn't done it.
And that's huge. I also think they have a chance to win the group now, and I think that should be their goal over the next two games, because if you do that, you can get a round of 16 opponent that is likely not Brazil. Now, we'll talk about Brazil here in a little bit.
But you picked Mexico to beat Brazil.
I picked them to go to the quarterfinals,
right,
Brian.
But you picked Mexico to beat Brazil in the round of 16, and if that game doesn't happen, we'll never know if you would have been right about that.
I will take full credit for Mexico getting to the quarterfinals,
no matter who
even
they
if
beat.
They beat freaking Saudi
and
Arabia.
Course, and of course, that could then mean a Germany-Brazil round of 16, which would, you know, light the world on fire.
I miss
most of the Brazil game. So.
Yeah, let me say just a couple of things about, like, before we go to Brazil.
Sorry.
Because I would just say that I think it's really important over the next couple of days, and I'm sure this will take place with Mexico, they have a team psychologist from Spain named Imanol Ibarrondo.
Is he the guy who worked with them heading into Columbus, right?
Yeah, that was his sort of trial test period, and he did so well in that victory over the U.S. a couple of days after the presidential election that he became a full-time employee of the Mexican Federation, working with the team through the World Cup, and he has worked wonders with this team, and I guarantee you he will be a big part of how they prepare over the next few days to bring the players a little back down to earth and say, look, it's a great win. You cried on the field afterward. That's awesome. You deserve that. But there's still work to be done here. And then also I look at Osorio, and I'm curious to see how the Mexican media responds, because they've been so critical of him. I'll be very amused if suddenly they're acting like Osorio like is the man with the
plan. There were a few comments from players today that I heard and saw quickly along the lines of, you know, defending their coach. No one gave Osorio credit. No one believed in him. Look, players say all the right things. I mean, players said nice things about Jurgen when Jurgen was coach. I mean, it happens. But this has to be different, right? I mean, they executed the plan, and they executed perfectly. And so that demonstrates to me some level of, what's the word, synchronicity or whatever between coach and team. And
synchronization is something Chicharito like would say to describe their patterns.
He does use that, yeah. So, and then they seem to sort of take some of the criticism of Osorio to heart, and some of that stuff was said today. And I would rattle off a couple of those quotes for you guys, but, you know, I can't plug into the to the brick wall I'm sitting on, so sorry about that.
Let's talk Brazil.
Technical difficulties.
Both games in Brazil's group took place today. You had Brazil 1, Switzerland 1. Felipe Coutinho gets a very Felipe Coutinho goal in the first half.
I saw the shot, that curler. That was
Brazil.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful goal from outside the box, like we've seen so many times from him, especially at Liverpool, but a little bit at Barcelona. And that's a great thing to have when defenses pack it in. And Switzerland was doing that for good portions of this game. But Switzerland played okay, you know, and they really hacked Neymar to death. And the referee didn't do much about it. And I think Neymar was really frustrated and had a right to be. And on a set piece, so many set pieces producing goals in this tournament. Corner kick, Switzerland scores. Might have been a push by the guy who scored, Zuber. In Switzerland, which is not the most exciting of teams, gets a point from Brazil.
It's interesting that Europe, I mean, this has been a European World Cup so far. You know, the European teams have done very, very well. European teams that are sort of lower on the relative pecking order than their non-European counterparts have got results, obviously Switzerland and Iceland being the obvious examples. And yet the first European team to fall is the world champion.
The only one at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's really interesting. The last European World Cup, 06, all four semifinalists were European. That's what I had in my bracket, by the way. Coming in, I had four European semifinalists, and I guess I took a little criticism for that. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be wrong. But, the European teams, smaller European teams, punching above their weight has been an early theme of this, again, except for Germany, which is just remarkable.
Yeah. You look at the other game today, you've got Serbia 1, Costa Rica nothing. Wonderful free kick goal from Alexander Kolarov, who apparently injured himself in warm-up and almost didn't play, but that was a great left foot.
Please remember to do a search for the Serbian Christmas video that he did.
Oh, yeah?
With Manchester City.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Maybe a couple of wolves.
Okay. So Serbia, Costa Rica was kind of a drab game, I got to say. I watched it. Costa Rica played like Costa Rica does. It was 5-4-1. It was what we've come to expect from them, and I thought they might get a result out of it. David Guzman of the Portland Timbers, an ill-advised foul in a dangerous location, and Kolarov makes him pay, and that was basically the game. Crickets.
Sorry, I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch, like, that's fine.
I mean,
like,
know,
you were going to the Mexico game.
I had my most Planes, Trains, and Automobiles day of the World Cup today. This city, every day I think they can't pack more people into this place, and they do. It's suffocating. It's just incredible. The streets, we've talked about Nikolskaya Street, all the stuff around the Red Square and the Bolshoi and Teatralnaya and St. Basil's and everywhere where we are. The metro is packed. And then if you don't get to a stadium, you know, a solid 4 hours early, just imagine the most crowded bar you've ever been in and trying to sort of work your way back to the bathroom, and that's what you're doing. And I was a mess when I got to the stadium today. So I missed the Costa Rica-Serbia game, and for the life of me, I don't know who's playing tomorrow.
Who do we got? We have England-Tunisia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We have Belgium-Panama. I think Panama might be the game in which U.S. fans most clearly realize that the U.S. is not in this tournament. But Panama deserves to be here. They're better than the U.S. And then the other game I will try and locate as Brian finds something to say while I look up the other game.
I sat next to a Brazilian today at the Mexico game who was skeptical about his own team's prospects. That was the conversation. That was the foreign journalist conversation I had today. The guy to my right was Egyptian, and he rolled into the press tribune with a Mo Salah scarf and literally nothing else.
He was naked?
Damn. I didn't even think of that as I was saying it.
Literally?
No. I meant like no equipment, like no work. But yeah, I guess kudos to him for getting through security, you know, wearing just the scarf. No, he had clothing and he had a credential and he had a Mo Salah scarf. And he literally did not a second's worth of work the entire time.
Awesome.
So just kind of freeloading on someone's dime at the World Cup. But then the Brazilian guy I was sitting to, very nice guy, said that, you know, they like the coach. They hope he stays on. They think the team's balanced. But in terms of, you know, the leadership, you know, the amount they put on Neymar's shoulders and just sort of a lack of trust that he has the temperament to sort of carry this team to where they all want to see it go, which is something that I've kind of believed and have read other places. And so it was interesting to hear that from someone who covers Brazilian soccer day in, day out. So that's what I decided to say while you looked up the schedule.
Yeah. So it's Sweden, South Korea. They're in Mexico in Germany's
right.
group.
Okay.
We're going to wind this thing up in a second because I got to go record my show. But another thing I would say is that we've now seen the four favorites play in this tournament. It's only one game, but you're talking about Germany, Spain, France, and Brazil. And one of those teams, Germany, has lost its first game. Two of those teams, Spain and who's the other one?
Brazil.
Spain and Brazil have tied their first game.
And France was extremely underwhelming
in a 2-1 win against Australia. And heading into this tournament, there was some conventional wisdom that, the top four teams in this tournament are better than any of the top four or the top four teams we've seen in recent World Cups.
Right. That the it's top heavy. That the distance between them and everybody else is larger than we thought.
That is not the case.
My final four was three of those. My final four was Germany, Spain, France, and Belgium.
Ah.
I had upsetting Brazil in the quarterfinals. Belgium hasn't played yet, right?
They play tomorrow.
Okay. So you said that. We're fried.
Yeah, it's late. I got 4 hours of sleep last night? Hoping to get seven tonight. But
thanks to Fox for the snacks.
Yeah, that hit the spot. We're going to wrap up right now, though, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Bora coming up next, right?
Yes.
Can you subtitle a podcast?
Big thanks to Brian Strauss. Next up is my interview with Bora Milutinovic. As promised, Bora Milutinovic, former coach of many countries, including the United States at World Cup 94, where they advanced from the group after beating Colombia and had a great game on 4th of July against Brazil before they went out 1-0. Bora, it's wonderful to see you again.
Oh, I'm so happy being in contact with you. As you know, football is my life. I'm so happy that you mentioned USA. 4 July, okay, Brazil, but more important, the guy from national team that was very young, without experience, we win Colombia. This is so great.
A very good memory of the United States in the World Cup. Obviously, the United States is not here at this World Cup. Are you surprised about that?
Surprise, you know, first, I was so happy when I come in USA with young people, without experience. But, you know, with this mentality, so important. Normally, I remember all these guys when we work, training, Mission Viejo, so many friendly games, traveling around the world. But so important, I think, was the attitude of the American player. I never like to mention this guy, all player, but normally with the president, Mr. Allen, Hank, all these people, they helped me so much. I'm so happy.
So what would you suggest that the United States do to return to a position where it's playing in World Cups, where it's doing okay in World Cups?
No. After, you remember the World Cup in the 2002 was great World Cup. You know, we beat or you beat. You know, Mexico is my team, but okay, my team always beat. I joke, but it was so great. You know, to go forward.
Borro is a former Mexico coach, by the way.
Okay, but look, this is. I'm no person to lie to you. You need to do this, you need to do this. I know everything is different today, different, but I have, in America, you have huge talent, the player. It's possible to, when you have vision, but what you need to do. Jova, come with me, come. Jova Kirovski, look.
Jova? Yes. Hey, Jovan Karowski, the live podcast. How's it going, man?
No, you understand.
No, stay here, man. We like dropping.
Now you understand.
That's Jovan Karowski, former player for you.
Yes, not for me, for America. But you know, when he came in Mission Viejo, he had only 70 years.
Right.
70 years, 2 years after he played for national team, mm-hmm. He scored this incredible nice goal against Germany. You remember for this?
I remember that,
1999. For this, I'm so sorry. I'm so happy to see Jova, how it is now. I don't like to speak. You need to do. You know which song I prefer?
What's that?
The Frank Sinatra, My Way.
Yeah.
This is, I like this song. You know, I do on my way. So many people is not agree, but I'm happy with my way. Good result is, I'm with you.
You've done so many things at the World Cup over the years. Mexico 86 to...
like never.
To the quarterfinals, the last time they actually got to the quinto partido. Yes. Then you
Costa Rica. We
Costa
go
Rica in 90.
First time ever one team who is play first World Cup go through. We win 2 games against Scotland and Sweden. We lose against Brazil 1-0. But anyway, this also this is my team. After okay, Nigeria is different.
Nigeria 98 gets Nigeria, to the second round. A team that you could have won that tournament, Bora.
No, but yes, but now I don't like to look for the excuse. No, but I have a very good excuse, but no, excuse, simple, you know.
02, China getting to the World Cup for the first and still only time on the men's side.
Yes, normal, but you know why.
Why?
They have Milu, the coach.
Milu in China, by the way, is what Bora was called because that's a letters in the Chinese language. for example, here we're in the lobby of a luxury hotel here in Moscow, and before this interview, several Chinese people stopped you and wanted to have their pictures taken with you. You're still very popular in China.
Like I tell you, I have the impression now I'm much more popular than before.
Because it's been so many years since '02, and China now realizes it's not easy to get to a World Cup on the men's side.
No, they don't realize.
Now they do, right?
No, but they don't realize how we go. But look.
So my question, Vora, is do you still have a desire to coach in a World Cup? You are currently living, you've been in Qatar for quite a while. You're well connected there. You're involved with their federation. Do you want to coach Qatar at the next World Cup?
No, the difficult though will be great for me. But, you know, I need to know who I am, what I need to do, how is it better. But always I make my effort to help football the Qatar, always.
What are you doing there to help football?
I don't do nothing. At the same time, I do everything. No, but what I tell you, you know what you do, but some advice, what is the better to do, but I was very, very happy to be the part with the people to organize World Cup 2022. Normal, traveling so much, I give my opinion, advice.
So tell me about what should people think about 4 years from now with the World Cup in Qatar? Are you excited about that? I know you represented the bid when they got it in 2010.
But now is the moment to show your capacity, how you go to organize the World Cup. Like people tell you, the World Cup in Qatar will be World Cup, one World Cup different than the other World Cup. First, you don't have this World Cup compact. Everything is in maybe 50 kilometers between one and the other stadium. You have every facility to go. The stadium will be already 80% of the stadium is finished. Now people speak the air condition, but air condition really you don't need, but if you need air condition, you have everything perfect, hotel, you have everything what you need to have, that transport, you can go in the stadium, but also important in one day you can see two games. I think for the fans it's very important to come there to enjoy the World Cup, after you can traveling around the country.
So you used to coach Mexico, you lived in Mexico for many years, you're very close to people there. How do you feel about Mexico as a team at this World Cup?
I tell you, today after the game, I can speak about Mexico. You know the expectation, what I tell you. For one coach, I think it's very important, the result. The result is the more important. But after this, how the people like your team. I'm sorry, my English is criminal, but in the Spanish,
fine.
how you accept your team. For me, the one of the best satisfaction, called satisfaction.
Satisfactions.
After the lose against Germany, the way how we play, the way how the people like team, the public ask federation to send the player, before the game Germany against Argentina to come in the center field to say goodbye for one court. This is the best thing that can happen. You okay. Can win game here, but people remember this moment like me. It was incredibly good. Yeah, I'm so happy. But other thing what I was very happy, I have in my first team, in first 11, I have 7 players. They started to play with me football in Pumas. What one coach can ask more?
We're winding down here. We're with Bora Milutinovic. Bora, looking at this World Cup, who are the teams that you like to win the World Cup? Do you have a pick?
No. I have, for four teams, I have special sentiment. First is Serbia.
Yeah.
It's my country. Other is Mexico. Third is Costa Rica.
Yeah.
For Nigeria.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for America, China, but okay, but the, for my sentiment, but realistically, everything is possible, but you have other countries, for example, in the paper, Brazil is the strongest team, in the paper, mm-hmm. but you know, in one game, everything is possible. After you have French, but anyway, they studying, okay, the way how they win, you say, there you have Spain, the other team, Germany always. Maybe England can be very...
Seriously?
No, seriously. I tell you why, English team, in the World Cup, is so important to know to control emotion.
Yeah.
They don't have any problem. Why? They're young, nobody count with them, but they have experience. Somebody from there, they have experience in one cup, but they play the strongest league in the world. They don't have pressure to be winner. Pressure when you need to win, but they need to play, but they have quality player for this. Very, very interesting to see English team, the other team. Also, they have so many good players. All they play in the important team is Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Belgium, this is for this you have this four to difficult to think some other country can be involved.
Bora, do you still spend time in Southern California? I know you used to live there as well. You were all over the place.
Laguna Niguel, this is, this place I like to go there. But you know, when I like to dream, how the soñar.
It's a dream, yes.
I was dreaming there in California. Remember when I come in America, I have one who, not to remember Mr. Alan Rottenberg. This, hey, Bora, but what, you need to learn to speak English. This, okay, Mr. President, I do everything. Okay. But we have excellent, like you remember, we win first Gold Cup.
Yeah.
91, Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, super, was incredibly good. 80 game, very good. Everything was good. But I starting to be a little bit better in English.
Yeah, of course.
After, my team started to play the worst, you know. But my English, I approve English. I tell Mr. Allen, call me, he say, hey, coach, you remember when I tell you the English? They say, Mr. President, I do my best. But they say, no, I like to tell you, language is not important. Important to win the game. For this, I'm so happy that I remember my time in USA.
Sometimes we have very good memories of your time in USA, Bora. Sometimes I thought that maybe if you got a question from a journalist that you did not like very much, that suddenly you didn't speak English as well as you could have.
No. This is my way. What I know now, maybe now I can tell, but I don't want to tell you. Look, what I tell you, first, I respect so much everybody. Yes. I try to respect. I don't like to involve nobody. What I try to explain for me, I don't like to speak so much. I don't like to speak the player. I don't. But also, this is my way. But for me, it's important to have good ambience with the team, everything with the player. But this is, like you tell, I agree with you. But this is my way. What I got to do.
So I'm here, one of the guys I'm working with here in Russia during the World Cup
yes.
is Alexei Lalas, your
yes.
former player with the USA national team.
I don't
team.
Remember.
He has a lot of good memories of playing for you, or at least interesting memories and good memories.
No, but not publicly. No, but no. No, I tell you, look. Really, my English to explain my feeling when I tell Alexei for me, incredible. The personality, intelligence, learned so, he's very fast, he learns so good, but I'm so happy if he thinks something good about me. But
he does.
No, but what I tell you, for me, for example, to have play like him. To not mention, I need to study to mention all my team is great, but Alexis is special position in my heart.
He tells a story that you one time asked him to cut his hair.
Yes,
you didn't ask him. You told him to cut his hair, and he had a problem with that. And then,
no, he don't have problem.
But well, eventually he didn't.
After he put
the beard.
The beard. Okay, but no. But what is no? But this you understand me. But also the show. I think he one of the most intelligent player he was.
Yeah.
Most intelligent player. You know what? First, we need to understand all these guys from Olympic team 92.
Yeah.
Include Sol, he was no part of the Olympic team, but all they make great job. But I like to tell you, 24 years before, without experience, without anything, but the way how we play, they change history in favor of the soccer in America. They're so good.
Well, Bora Milutinovic, you are a true world citizen and character of the game. Thank you so much for joining me.
No, but what? Finish already? Finish? Hey, what is this interview?
We're done, man.
Only 10? No, enjoy. No, this is really pleasure for me to see you. It's good. I'm sorry you're no president of FIFA, but what good to do.
Next time, maybe I'll run.
No, you never know.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football World Cup Daily Podcast. I'd like to thank Bora Milutinovic and Brian Strauss, as well as everyone at Cadence 13 and Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Please, if you like the pod, tell your friends, subscribe, like, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help the cause if you do, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.